Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Stay in your lane, bro. You know, is just okay really okay? Go ahead and bring the lights back up if you would, guys. Is just okay really okay in the kingdom? Think about that. Is just okay Christianity really okay? If I'm that guy, I'm out of that chair so fast. Now, help me keep my thought there, will you? You just help me, because I'm on a trail here. I'm about to go off on a trail here. I was in the airport not long ago, and I'm not bashful about bailing on that kind of a scenario. I'm not bashful at all. I'm in the airport, Southwest Airline, keep my thought, because I'm on a trail. And I told Gina, I'm going to get another shoe shine. That guy was the worst shoe shine guy last time. I'm going to give him another chance. She said, are you really? She said, you didn't like it. I said, that's the worst shoe shine I've ever had in my life. So I crawled up in that guy's shoe shine stand. I believe in grace. Okay. So I'm going to give him a second chance. And I got up there and guys, have you ever done a shoe shine seat? Get up there and they got these stirrups that they put your feet out onto, you know, and he's popping that thing. He hasn't touched my shoe yet, but he's popping his towels. He's spraying it. Popping and getting ready. He says, I'm going to get $100 tip out of you today. I said, are you going to earn it? I said, you going to earn it? Well, he said, I just feel like, you know, because he guessed it last time. I said, you know, you're a preacher. You got a lot of money. He remembered that. He remembered that I was a pastor. You got money. He said, I just think I need to be blessed today. I said, I do too. I'll be right back. And I got down out of that chair. And I will go back. I didn't say when I'd go back. You see, Jesus said, I'll be back. It's been 2,000 years. But he is coming back. And I'm going to go back to that guy. I will. Because I know who he is. I know right where his stand is. I'm going back to that guy. And I will take care of that brother one day. But I'm going to let him know. That's not the way to go about demanding the blessing. I don't believe, you know what I believe? I've experienced this. When I demand from God, he is silent. But when I trust the promises of God, oh my goodness, the blessing starts to flow. He said, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. What he didn't know is he didn't know how big a tip I was going to leave him anyway. Years ago, a guy in our salon, this pastor that came in, an old guy, I love this guy dearly. I always gave pastors a financial break, because I wanted to bless them, not because they couldn't afford it. I just wanted to bless them. They'd come in, and he came in, and long story short, I knew I was going to give him a great haircut. I wanted to give him everything I could that day, the very best I could. And he looked at me, he says, now I'm not going to be able to pay you much today. I said, brother, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It was about a $25 hairstyle at the time in the 1980s. I said, it'll be fine. You're going to be blessed. Don't worry. He said, well, now, brother, I can't afford much. I said, I understand. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. I was going to charge him $5. That's all I was going to charge him was $5 just to cover the cost of the products that I was using and make sure the shop didn't lose money. I was just going to cover some costs. So I did his hair, styled his hair, he had a nice head of hair, beautiful head of hair, got him looking good, and all the way up there, you're going to take all my money now. You're going to take all my money now. My mom was sitting at the desk. How many of you remember my mom? My mom's nickname was Maud most of her life, but we nicknamed her Medea. from Diary of a Mad Black Woman. You remember the movie? Okay. So my mom's sitting there at the front desk, and my mom was a slave-driving woman in our salons. She was one tough bird. My dad was the face of the business. My mother was the brawn. She was the businesswoman. Kept about $10,000 cash in each bra cup. It's true. It's true. And a loaded revolver in her, or an 8mm rather, not a revolver. It was a 9mm in her purse. Had that clip put up in her. Medea. It's true. So pastor, I won't name him, walks up and he says, he's going to take all my money today. He's going to take all my money. And I said, brother, it's free. It's free. Don't worry about it. Don't fret over it. It's free. Oh, you would do that for me? I said, yeah, absolutely. I love you. Go in Jesus' name. You know, just go. Get out of here before I take that haircut back. Just go. Just go. He's stealing all my blessing, you know. Stealing all my blessing. He leaves out the door. My mom says, come here. My mom was always doing this kind of stuff. Pretend it's a $100 bill. It's not. I pretend it is all the time. It's a 20. My mom has this $100 bill in her hand, and she does this. Come here for a second. Come here for a second. There you go. I said, what's this? She said, well, I was going to give that to him, but he stole your blessing. So the blessing goes to you. Get the picture. Get the picture. Okay, let me get back into... Don't steal anybody's blessing and don't demand. Bring blessing. Bring blessing. Bring blessing wherever we go. The whole idea of this story, though, is okay Christianity, just okay. The idea, turn in your Bibles really quick, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to tell you, just bring you into, I've got to tell you, we are the body of Christ. And literally, I can tell you what it feels like for my body not to be okay in certain places. It's just okay in some places, and it ain't so okay in other places. When your hip bone, you know, when you get older, you actually realize it's really true. The hip bone's connected to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone's connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone's, and you really realize it, because when one part hurts, the older you get, it all kind of travels. Have you ever noticed that? Raise your hand so I'm not deliriously alone in the room, right? So when all of the body hurts, when one part of the body hurts, all of the body suffers with it. Well, Paul knew what he was talking about when he wrote chapter 12. By the way, he didn't write this in chapters. Anybody, y'all realize that? Everybody realizes. This is a letter to the church at Corinth, and later it was broken into chapters and verses. He didn't put chapter 12, you know. So chapter 12, and I want to read this to you, and I want to talk to you about just okay body parts here, okay? So jump in with me. The body is a unit. This is verse 12. The body is a unit, chapter 12, verse 12. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We're all given the one Spirit to drink. Isn't that awesome? We just had a lot of Lutherans leave this building. We're all given one Spirit to drink. You know, the Baptists are meeting up the street, one Spirit to drink. The Catholics are meeting up the street, and the born-again individuals in that room, they are drinking from the same Spirit as you and me. And so are the Methodists, and you name whatever, United Pentecostal, whatever you want to name, all 9 kinds of Baptists and 25 kinds of Pentecostals, we're all drinking from the same Spirit. And if I didn't name your form or whatever it was, shout it out right now so that it's said. Okay. I covered the room. Now the body is made up of one part, not of one part, but of many. It is if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. It can say it all it wants to, but that doesn't make it reality. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If in fact God has arranged, but in fact rather God has arranged the body in the parts, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Did you hear what Paul just wrote? Just as he wanted them to be. God created the body of Christ. Intentional. Just the same as this is the same creator that created day, the world in the beginning. He separated night from the day and he called it the first night from, dark from the light and he called it the first day. That's the same creator that created the body of Christ. He's still creating. You know that somebody got saved today? God's still creating. You know, baby's been born today. God's still creating. You know, baby was just conceived today. I bet you a whole lot of them were somewhere around the world. He's still creating today. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of us, just as he wanted us to be. If we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, next, there are many parts, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat as special with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Thus, in other words, in this kingdom, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Consistent scripture. Can you imagine? So that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. Do you know what? If you're not here, if we call you, or if we tell you we miss you, it's not because we want the blue seats filled. Get that? It's because we're concerned. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? You know, if we're not calling each other, well, that's the pastor and the staff's job. I'm going to hold that spot. I want to talk about that for a second. About 20 years ago, well, it was actually longer than that because we've been here almost 20. It was about 25 years ago, I was a senior associate at First Assembly of God. And no, it was farther back than that because Rex was the pastor, so I was a deacon at the time. God forgive me. But anyway, I was a deacon at the time. Lord, I repent. So Rex said, we want everybody in this building being prayed for. Rex prayed about this, and he said, we're going to, you all know Rex, my mentor, you know, he's an elder, serves as an elder here. So Rex says, guys, what we're going to do is, to the deacons, we're going to break the church up in alphabetical segments, and each of you are going to have a group of people. I want you praying for these people. I mean, this was a genuinely prayed out, really believing God was going to move incredibly over the spirit of our congregation. And if you're, besides me, he said, going to the hospital, if your families that you're overseeing are in the hospital, I want you guys to know. Deacons can actually go serve people, right, Larry? Deacons can go serve people and love on people and pray for people, not because you got a position, but because you should have an anointing. So we're praying, we start this thing out, and every once in a while, I just picked up the phone, I didn't see some of my families, and this is what I got. Get this, this is what I got. So why are you calling me? So why are you calling me? Why isn't Pastor calling me? Because he doesn't want to call, so he's giving you guys assignments to call us, so he doesn't have to call us. I just wanted to tell you I loved you. No, well, it's all right. Don't worry about it. You don't have to call me. If the pastor doesn't care enough to call, that's okay. Don't call just because you're assigned my name. You can't believe how many people said that to me. Now, many asked me if I would forgive them later at some of the things that were said. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to be calling each other. Calling each other. I haven't seen you. Where are you at? You doing okay? If you're not doing okay, I want to know you're not okay. So please don't call the church office. Hey, I'd rather you do this than them never get a call. But you feel free, call them. And then call us. Hey, I checked on so-and-so, want you to know this is the kind of where they're at. They're kind of going through a funk right now, this and that. I prayed with them and we just believed for them. Doesn't that sound like part of the body? Hey, And you know what? If I got a cup of coffee in this hand, here's the picture. If I got a cup of coffee in this hand and I got a donut in this hand, I love coffee and a donut. And I got an itch on the back of my leg. I have said to Gina, scratch the back of that leg, will you? Scratch that leg. Because I'm telling you, my hands are busy. But somebody ought to be helping the part, you know, you get the picture. If somebody's got stuff going and they got an itch on the back of their leg, they need it scratched. You know, yeah, it'd be easy to say, well, put the donut down, dummy. Scratch your own leg. But that's how we treat people in the kingdom. We just push people off. Well, no, I mean, there's times common sense says put the donut down, dummy, and scratch the back of your leg. Yeah, it really does. But there's other times it's just kindness to say, oh, is your back of your leg itching? Okay. You know, I'm not talking about physically here. I'm talking about spiritual needs. If you know somebody's hurting, pick the phone up and call them and scratch the back of their leg. Everybody knows that's a metaphor. Okay. Okay. What'd you learn today in church? We're supposed to scratch the people's leg in front of us at church. Is this being recorded? Beth's back there going, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. Okay, I'm going to go on. I'm going to start at verse 25. Don't know where I was, but I'm going to start there. So that there should be no division in the church, in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. That's where I was. Equal concern for each other. Not because there's a position. You're the welcome team. Go open the front door for the lady with her hands full. Wait a minute. See a need, meet a need. See a need, meet a need. Ask her, can I carry this stuff? I think most of you would. I just believe I know you well enough to know. But I've actually seen people go to an usher, not here, but go to ushers and say, hey, there's somebody at the front door. I'm going to go let them in. Hey, there's somebody in church, Pastor. Will you go pray for him? I had a lady call me from a hospital at midnight one night in a snowstorm, wanted me to come pray for her dying mother. I said, can you pray for her? There is a snowstorm. I don't know what to say. And the pastor, I thought the pastor was supposed to come pray for the elders of the church to come and pray for the sick and anoint. I said, that's true, but you're right there. And there's a massive snowstorm. You know the story I've told you. I got lost in the snowstorm and drove right up into the middle of the campus of St. Louis University. I'm talking about the university. Because I thought I was on the campus of St. Louis University Hospital. That's how bad the snowstorm was. Hey, you're there. She's dying. You gotta be kidding me. You're not willing to pray with her. That we should have equal concern for each other. You have an equal anointing as me. Did you know that? You have an equal anointing. You have an anointing. You have an anointing. You have an anointing. Live in the anointing. Live in the anointing. Follow what the Spirit is telling you and live in the anointing. And the anointing, by the way, is not a selfish move on your own part. It's not about you. But the anointing will always kick you to serve someone else and to care for their need. And what are you doing? You're giving value to someone. You know what you're doing? You're extending value from the cross all the way into a very current, relevant situation where you show up at a hospital and you say, I just wanted you to know we love you. We miss you. We care about you. You just carried the love from the cross 2,000 years ago into a rare, very relevant situation today. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Mike is about to get his ordination with the Assemblies of God in April of this year, of 2020. We're going to be there in power. We're going to be the ones screaming the loudest. Because of what God is doing in Pastor Mike and Carmen's lives and their family, we're going to be standing there shouting with what God is doing with our church family and celebrating together. And nobody's going to be sitting back there going, well, I haven't been ordained and nobody, you know, when I got my membership, nobody put me on the platform. And you know, I've heard those kind of stories. Haven't you? Haven't you heard those kind of stories, Mike? I have heard. If you've been around in church long enough, somebody gets their feelings hurt because, you know, you didn't call my name last year at the Christmas play. That's the God's honest truth. What Christmas? I'm like, what Christmas play? We don't have a Christmas play. We have a children's Christmas production. Yeah, that one. Oh, but you're an adult. No, seriously, if we're applauding the Christmas production, we're applauding all of you, all of you. Didn't call my name. Am I getting in somebody's grill this morning? You did get quiet. Everybody okay? Now, you are all the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first to be... First of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, those able to do other things, such as gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And you know what our habit is with that scripture? We stop right there and we think that he's referring to everything behind that he just said. He's not. The letter didn't end. The letter goes on. I know it says chapter 13. It's not what Paul wrote. Paul continued the letter. He said, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he goes on to tell you what it is. Did you know that? He goes on to tell you what it is, the greater gifts. He says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. It's a continued conversation. He says, if I speak in tongues, he's going back to the gifts of the Spirit thing. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, in other words, I actually really do have that gift. I actually really do have those gifts that I referred to back in chapter 12. That wasn't chapter 12 in my letter. It was just still my letter. Everybody following me? He didn't change the subject here. He goes on to tell us what the greater gifts are. By the way, I'm not going to take the time to do it this morning, but let me just have you jump down to verse 13. He says, and now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. Now these three gifts to give away, now they are amazing. But the greatest of these is love. Wow. That will transform the world. The gift of love. It's the greatest gift I could ever receive, and I have. His name is Jesus, and he is the greatest gift I could ever give away, and his name is Jesus. It's the greater gifts. It's to actually get to give value to people. To do that just okay. Is that really okay? Yeah, Tarzan. That was the best Tarzan I have ever heard. I've just got to recognize that. That was the best Tarzan in the middle of church. Carol Burnett couldn't have done it better. I'm just saying. You remember Carol Burnett, right? And the whole... In almost 30 years of ministry, I've never heard Tarzan in church before. But that was priceless. Had to acknowledge it. Yes, I will go out on a squirrel, right? But is Christianity... Okay, Christianity, just okay? No. No. Can I give you real life examples here at this church? Years ago, there was a family, a wonderful family. Love them with all my heart. They're not here anymore, so I'll go ahead and tell the story. But... There was a wonderful family that was here for years, and they had a family member that came to church one Sunday, and please don't be offended by the way I'm describing this. I'm just bringing you in on the decisions leaders have to make. Pastor Mike Bowie knows these types of decisions that leaders have to make, both here in church, in his business, in family. Okay. So one Sunday morning, I look out there, and there is a ghoulish looking guy at the end of the walkway under the colonnade. A long trench coat. Let me give you the picture. Did you ever see the movie Home Alone? Do you remember the scary guy out on the driveway with the sock hat and he's shoveling his driveway? I look out there, I see that guy at the end of our walkway. Honest to God, I see that guy at the end of our walkway. I'm not being unkind. That's what I see. And I'm looking for Tony. No, I was looking for the welcome team leader at the time. I'm like, who is that guy out there? Oh, well, that's so-and-so's son-in-law. I said, it's his son-in-law? Yeah. He had the sock hat pulled down, and I'm telling you, he was standing there, black gloves, long black, you know, kind of a wool coat. I'm talking about full-length wool coat, and he's standing there like this. And listen, if I'm a first-time attender, I keep driving. That was my thought. If I'm a first-time attender, I want to know, could you not have put someone more welcoming looking at this sidewalk than that? Seriously. And so I go to the father-in-law and I say, dude, what's the deal? He said, well, I'm just trying to get him involved. I said, it's his first Sunday. It's his first Sunday. He can't represent SCRC. He doesn't even know who we are. And I don't even know who he is. He's going to let kids out of their cars. Let them walk up the wall and sometimes walk them up themselves and get them checked into kids' church. Do you get the picture? That man's gift is not the welcome team. He is so out of his lane, bro. Do you get it? He is so out of his lane. Seriously, I need you to get the picture. It gets worse. It gets worse. The father-in-law gets upset with me because he thinks we need to involve him in something. I said, dude, he hasn't been here. He hasn't been here long enough for us to know him and to get him to kind of look less scary. And the father-in-law wouldn't do anything about it. I took this guy aside one day and I said, I just want to be real with you. Can I just be really transparent with you? Do you know you purposefully, and I said, I'm going to tell you straight out, you purposefully dress to put people off. You have an expression on your face all the time to put people off. Why do you do that? Well, I don't know, you know, I'm really not comfortable with people. And they put you on the welcome team? Do you get the picture? We take people out of their lane, and because the church thinks we're desperate to fill a role, can I tell you something we started with, and we are going back to it for this next season? We're going to do a few things, but we're going to do few things very well. Few things very well. We're not going to be able to do everything at first, but we're going to do a few things and a few things with excellence. With excellence. Because the Lord deserves excellence. And new families driving up on a Sunday morning with their little babies in the back hopping out, don't need to have, by the way, I'm not talking about because anybody had a beard. I'm not talking about because I have a beard. I'm just saying he put off an error about him on purpose, and he admitted he was not really comfortable with people, and frankly, I don't think he liked people. By the way, if you don't like people, don't join the welcome team. Right, Tony? Are you meeting after church today? You have a meeting immediately after church today. If you would like to be a part of the first face of this church, anybody's going to see on a Sunday morning, meet with Tony right up here at the end of this church service. And he's going to talk to you about some training nights. When we land at the new facility, get ready. We're going to retrain everybody for every role. We're retraining everybody for every role because this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it, and I'll also get ready for it. We're going to be prepared for it. This is a new season. Everybody can love somebody. That's the greatest gift you'll ever give away, is value and love and compassion. Truly, I mean true compassion, that people are like, I can't believe how I feel when I come to this place. Because this church family, I've heard it from many of you, this is the first real church family I have ever had. I've heard that from you. And I mean, you all are lovers. And I love that about you. That's why we do so well. You all are lovers. And I really am looking forward to that next season. I can tell you years ago, there was a little girl not here at this church. There was a 14-year-old little girl, and her family bragged on her. She needs to sing special music. She needs to sing special music. And Sherry's laughing. She remembers the story. So we're all sitting there. There's about 700 of us. Rex was the pastor at the time. And there was a music pastor over there. I cut his hair, and he was telling me, yeah, we're going to let this girl sing. You know, she's going to sing Sunday night. We didn't want to do it on Sunday morning. Don't know really how she sings. Nobody ever heard her. And she's going to sing special music. You know, how many know special music sometimes ain't so special? So that Sunday night came, and that little girl just wailed. I mean, that little girl just sang her heart out. The music was powerful. The guys up in the section, up in the balcony were in the sound booth. It was Mike Compton at the time, if y'all remember Mike Compton. And man, that girl, People are like, she was good. Now, pastor, you got to let her sing more often. She got to sing more. When that dude came in, I won't name the pastor that came in, but when that pastor came in, he said, did you know how much of a catastrophe that was? I said, no. What happened? They flipped the soundtrack. She was so bad, they couldn't let her sing. So they flipped the soundtrack, and they turned her mic dead, and she's singing. And I'm telling you, she sounded like Olivia Newton-John. And I'm like, you're kidding. He said, no, I didn't know they did that. They decided to do that because she was so bad. And the music minister said, she's horrible. Who in the world ever said this girl could sing? Now we got this girl out of her lane. And everybody thinks she's right in the lane she should be. And demanding this girl sing more often. See, you can't do that. The kingdom has to be more honest than that. The kingdom has to have integrity about things. Sweetie, I love you. I love you. I love you. It's not your thing. It's stay in your own lane, sis. Stay in your own lane. You get the picture. Hey, bro, stay in your own lane. You can't sing. But you can do things. You can love people. You can love people. You can serve. Oh, my goodness. If you're a servant and you like to make concoctions and you don't know totally what you're drinking, talk to Pastor Pam. She'll train you in the cafe. There's things you can do. You want to be around children? You really want to be, and you feel anointed to be around children? Come talk to us. We'll tell you if you are. Can I tell you how I know most of the time? I had a lady come up to me years ago and she said, Pastor Barry, I have such a strong passion for children's ministry. Because I know them. But, you know, there's just time after time I've seen people get out of their lane. You have a gift. Whatever that gift is. This is what this lady that told me, I have a passion for children's ministry. I want to be your children's pastor. This is in 2001 or two. At the old office, which is where a new office is right now. This lady came to my office. It really is. And she was at First Assembly the whole time I was there. And I said, I called her by her first name. I said, I've never seen you work in children's ministry. In the 20 years plus that I've known you, you never, and I was the pastor over there for 5 years, on the board for 3 years, so I was in leadership for 8 years. I said, you never once tried to come and work in children's ministry. Why didn't you, if you have a passion for it, why didn't it show up somewhere along the way? Y'all getting the picture? If you have a passion for something, you don't need me, my permission to be already doing something about that in the kingdom. If you have a gifting for it, the anointing is in you. You're gonna, if you have an anointing to touch children's lives, I have a feeling you may be, you know, 60, almost my age, you may be 60, but if you've never worked in children's ministry, I don't know, I really have to question the passion. And are you really being completely honest with yourself? Or is this just a new season that you're thinking, I'd like to try that and see how it works? We can't afford that. Stay in your own lane, bro. Stay in your own lane. What do you do well? What is it you do well? Now let's find out what that is. So Pastor Carl, in 2020, we're going to be doing a giftings course and class and discovering St. Charles River Church's spiritual gifts, and which will also turn into a very practical application on how that looks in kingdom service and in your family service and in your community service. You see, it's all applicable. It's not just about, do I join the welcome team or do I sing on the worship team or do I? No, no, no. This is about a lifestyle of servanthood in my strengths. You know what we do, and I'm going to wrap it up. You know what we do as the church? We tend to buy into this. We want you to expand your world a little bit. You know, I know you're not real good at administration, but we're going to expand your world a little bit, and we'll have you do some things. But I don't like doing those things. See, the Lord wants to grow you. Don't you love when people charge? In other words, we want you to operate out of your weakness instead of operating within your strengths. God's word, I just read it. He said he developed us that way. He made us that way. He created us that way. It wasn't a mistake. You may be sick of it. You may be sick of doing what you're doing. I want to do something different. I heard this for years. I've been in the choir for 40 years now. About time I try youth. Dear God, no. Please not. Please not. Please not youth. Seriously, take a sledgehammer, hit my toe with it. But please not youth. Y'all get the picture? We all have giftings. in the fun world way, we say, stay in your own lane. But you know what? When you start operating out of your lane, really, a lot of catastrophic things can happen. People can be hurt. Ministries can be not just embarrassed, but truly devastated because a leader didn't have the guts to say and the integrity to say, no, that's not what I see in you. What I see in you is more these things. By the way, Rex did that with me for 6 long, long years. Bear, I see these strengths in you, and I don't see that in you. I didn't like it, but I'm so glad he did it. Father, thank you for the fact that you've given us all gifts, you've given us all strengths, and you've made clear to most of us what our weaknesses are. I ask you, Father, that you will give us in this next season an amazing boldness to operate within our strengths and to really boldly give you our very best, because okay Christianity is not okay. In Jesus' name, we're looking for excellence in all things we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.